We are Glow Mountain Bike. We are a podcast with a focus on recreational women's mountain biking. Our goal is to create a community with focus on being uplifting and encouraging to one another. We all ride for different reasons. Some ride to be outdoors in nature, some for mental or physical health. Others are professional athletes. Some like to race for fun or not at all. And many of us are aspiring to become professional leisure athletes. And all of us like to have fun playing on bikes. Whatever your reason for riding, this is a place for you. Hi, I'm Julie.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Anna.
And today it is September 12th.
Yep.
And we are here in Anna's basement, but we are excited to share that tonight we have a special guest. Janet, who do we have with us today?
A very, very special guest.
Special to you.
The Glowtographer, my hubby.
Wait, the Glowtographer is here with us?
The Glowtographer is with us?
Yeah.
The one, the only,
Doug Moore.
Woo-hoo! Say hi.
Hello, it's Doug here, and I thank you very much for having me on. I love the Glow podcast.
Oh, thanks, Doug.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah.
We appreciate everything you do for us, Doug.
Okay, so unfortunately, I messed up. He was supposed to come here to the basement, so we have him on the phone.
he's here in spirit and
on the phone.
On the phone.
Yep.
I'm in exile.
Yeah. He doesn't even have COVID.
Yeah.
No. Keeping him away. But thanks for joining us, Doug. We invited Doug today because our topic is going to be pet adventures on the trail. And when we start talking about animals on the trail, we can't help think about Doug.
That's right.
Because he's an animal.
Very true statement.
I'm an animal on the trail.
But really, we had some stories that Doug tells really well that we wanted him to share. And plus, he's also an expert of riding with a pet because he's been riding with Max for many years now.
Yep.
And that's something we're going to talk about today as we think about riding with your dogs or other pets. But before we get there, where have you guys been riding?
Oh, gosh. I know I should be ready for this question, and I'm caught off guard.
It's the same question every episode.
I can go.
Where have I been? Go, Janet. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere. I've been to Kingdom Trails. I did a big ride there, Bee Lot. And then Doug and I, we did Franklin Falls, and we did two trail systems in Gore Main, which are so flowy. It's so different from Bee Lot. It's like you'll do 9 miles, 500 feet elevation, that's it.
Wow.
Versus
wow.
Like you'd be doing 1200 feet in Boston Lot.
Right.
Did you use the F word, flow, like not rocks and roots? It was fast,
yeah,
fast
it was
and
kind,
flowy?
It was kind of flowy. Well, Franklin Falls is totally flowy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
a
lot of fun.
I still haven't been there.
Oh, it's...
I know, it's crazy.
You haven't been there?
I know.
It's right up your alley.
Me neither.
You haven't been there either?
You haven't been there ever. Wow.
Okay, road trip.
Yeah, has
it's
to happen.
It's really fun. And they do... fat tire biking too, which I hear is nice.
Really?
So maybe
so. Okay. Then that's got
to
be added onto the list for sure.
So where did you ride, Julie? Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure just a Scutney and Aqueduct. I don't actually think I got over to Boston Lot this last couple weeks.
What?
I know. Weird.
Yeah,
strange.
Possible.
I know. Still having fun.
Well, I was with Julie on the Scutney ride where we had a weekend glow ride and we did Jim's Trails, and man, was that fun.
That was a lot of fun.
And it was so fun because it was a smaller group than we usually ride with, and it was a moving group.
Mm-hmm.
So we were amazed at how well we could keep moving and how much shorter Jim's Jam seems when you don't stop every 2 seconds.
Exactly. Which kept you in that flow and clearing certain sections where I just kept on saying, oh wow, I made it through that. Oh wow, all right.
Yeah.
And then we got a little too overconfident.
We did get a little cocky there at the end.
Oh, oops. We're like, hey, I think I could clear this whole thing.
And
until
then
the second half.
They're like, oh, I forgot about this part. Oh yeah, there's that rock. Oh yeah, this is, I'm not sure this is in my wheelhouse. But it was much less getting on and off than usual.
Yeah,
that's kind of nice.
Really fun.
It was a great group.
Yeah,
it's
really fun.
Yeah, when we were in Gorm, we went with a lady that knows it. So the first day that we did the Gorm Trails, we're always looking at the map. We're like, where are we? Where are we? Just Doug and I. The second day we went with this lady, and it's like, and first of all, she was fast, and second of all, she knew the trail, so it was
knowing the line too
makes a huge difference.
So it's really fun.
So I also rode, I've been up at Hurricane, I did some a clinic up there. I've been riding at Bee Lot. I think we had a
a small Tuesday morning with Jerry, which was fabulous on the one Tuesday it wasn't raining in the last number of weeks. But I also had a really fun ride at Section 5 in Queechee on the new trails. And they even have trail signs now.
Oh, really?
I heard this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it on Trail Forks?
I don't know if it's on Trail Forks.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But we rode with Kim, who's from out of town but lives in Queechee and knows those trails really well. So we had a really great time.
Oh, that's always nice.
But it's so funny. You know, they're sort of old school rake and ride, and they're so undulating that there's no coasting.
No.
Like, you very rarely are just coasting on your bike. So you do like 3 miles and you feel like you've just done six.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Wow. Oh, very technical in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really technical.
Tight turns,
but it was
technical.
Small groups. It was sort of the same as Jim's Jam. Like, we just kept moving.
Yeah.
There's only four or five of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great. And have you guys ridden there this year?
Yeah. Not this year.
Not this year.
No. I really need to get over there.
There's this real ledgy section, and people used to sort of ride over to the right, and I'm like, no, I think the intention is you ride right over top of the spine, like right over these rocks. And we've had some disagreements on what the appropriate line is, and I was really happy. I felt like, see, I told ya, because they did a little bit of trail work there, and now it's even more clear, like,
oh,
this is the line.
Yeah, interesting.
And the part that seemed really scary, where you're on this really narrow thing that if you're a little to the left,
yeah,
you're like really fall and have big consequence. When you ride it, you don't even notice that.
Oh, nice.
Interesting.
Right, nice. Over it.
I wonder if it's the section that I'm thinking of where it then it's up, down, and then up again. And it's like ledgy, at the spine. A lot of ratcheting. I always pedal strike on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It might be the same spot.
Yeah.
So they've kind of.
There's just one memorable spot in there that catches me every time.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. So they're like, thank you to Queechee Lakes and
Ken Lawler
and that gang, because they're doing a really nice job out there.
Didn't
it's
you
really
go to
fun.
Killington?
Oh, yeah. And season debut at Killington.
Season debut in September.
Yeah, I haven't even been.
Ladies, what have we been waiting for? You know, I was a little bit like, oh, it's going to hurt my body. My knees are sore after jumping. Like, you go too fast. It's high consequence if you bite it. Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun. I'm like, why haven't I been here this whole year?
And that's those downhill trails at Killington. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, we had a really good time.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
Nice. Yeah.
And it was it was like a glow takeover of Dirt Divas or Divas of Dirt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Jimena is running it this year.
Oh,
nice. And she's so very, very cool.
Yeah.
But it was glow plus two others.
Oh, really?
So it was a total glow takeover. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
New glow members?
Yes, actually.
Recruited glow members?
So we went out for eats after to Sushi Yoshi there. And
nice.
One of the new gals stopped. She, like, sort of at the end of the ride, everybody went different directions, and her riding buddies weren't back yet. But everybody knew we were going to, like, that was the afterglow plan was Sushi Yoshi. So, like, after we'd been there about an hour, she actually stopped by. Her riding buddies were in the car, and she came over just to say, I really loved riding with you guys. That was super fun. She's like, and tell me about the glow ride. Like, and can I join you? We're like, yes.
What's the name?
Yeah. So we'll talk later.
Yeah. I think we had a couple new members join. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
So, cool. It was really, really great. So Killington downhill, we'll be doing a podcast hopefully soon on some downhill riding. There's lots of stuff we can talk about. Cool. Anybody ride anywhere else?
No.
No. Pretty typical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got some rain tonight, so no Tuesday morning with Jerry tomorrow.
That's right. Bummer. I think I'll be on the trainer.
Yeah.
I'll be in the gym, I hope.
Thursday looks good, though.
Yeah. Thursday's looking good for a glow ride.
I'm going to be in Norwich University.
Oh, yeah.
Reunion weekend, so we'll be there.
Yeah. Yep.
Lots going on. We're all so busy. But since we're going to be riding some more in the next few weeks, we started talking about cornering last episode, and we were really breaking it down. So
hello.
If those of you who listened to our last episode know that last week we talked about the first L and the three L's of cornering: low, look, lean. And last week we talked about low and those low points that we wanted everybody to really take home was the hinging at your hips, getting nice and low, bringing your shoulders down low towards your bars, making sure your elbows are relaxed and back behind your hands, and riding with heavy feet and light hands. So that was low. Franklin, if you want to practice this, go to Franklin Falls. I totally was trying to get low, and you can't, it's hard actually to look ahead there because the turns are so tight, but you can get low.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Killington's a great place too. It's just so many corners.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It was, I was thinking about that a lot, but I'm glad you said that it's hard to look ahead because that's what we want to talk about today. Is look. So we talk about this all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Look ahead, look ahead, eyes up.
I'm always talking myself to look ahead because it makes a huge difference. I even say it like not just in a corner, like when I see chunk, like a root or rock.
Yes. That's, you can't get fixated.
No, so I basically tell myself when I see that, I'm like, ooh, that looks like, that's a huge root. I say to myself, look ahead and just keep pedaling. And
yes.
Unbelievably, I make it over those things.
So how far ahead do you look?
Isn't that the question?
I guess it depends on how fast you go.
Yes. Right. Yes. So general rule of thumb when we're teaching, and this is like something that we call trail scanning, which is sort of all the time when you're riding, you want to look, you want to be scanning the trail to where you are now and where you're going next. So we like to call it now and next, but you never stop and just look at now.
Right.
Then you're just looking down.
Yeah.
But the question is, what is next? And we usually do this really fun thing when we're teaching groups is we talk about an appropriate next being somewhere between 3 to 6 seconds ahead of you and the now being 1 or 2 seconds ahead of you. And what we do is we get to the trail and we pick some trees and we're like, okay, we're going to start counting at this tree and let's count 5 or 6 seconds and let's see how far ahead look ahead really is.
Right.
And it's always so much farther than you'd think.
Oh, yeah. And then we practice,
and then we practice that at different speeds. So if I'm going fast, how far ahead is 6 seconds? If I'm going slow, how far ahead?
Absolutely,
is 6 seconds. And then once you kind of can figure out well how far ahead is ahead, then you start practicing sort of the down up. But you really want to make sure that you're keeping the up as your focus. You don't ever want to focus on what's right.
You look down real quick to see. Okay, I guess
that's where you'll head.
Yeah.
So that kind of practice on straight trails or non-corners is like vital.
Yeah.
So you have to really learn how to do that before you can apply that into your corners.
Yep.
So that's a good place for everybody to start. Yep. And then, you know, the common wisdom with when you start looking through corners is it's always, again, farther ahead than you think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the hard part.
Well, then don't say, you know, you really twist your body to look around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And
as soon
eyes.
As you're there, you're looking to where you're going.
And that takes practice.
Yeah, and that's going to start with the lean and the angulation and all of that and the twisting of the hips and shoulders for sure. And all that comes. That's why cornering is so complex.
Mm-hmm.
Another good tip is trying not to stay too focused. So sometimes, and Julie, I know you hit flow a lot when you're riding, so especially downhill. It's almost like, you know those photos when everything's kind of in a blur?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that's kind of sort of how you want your vision to be. Like, you want to see the big picture, but you don't want to see every tree, rock, and root. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to keep a soft focus.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're now in nexting, you really want to be taking in the whole scene so that you're not just, like, narrowing in.
I think I do that narrowing. I wish they had a flow for going uphill. I think I could get it, but there's no flow for that.
You can practice.
Yeah,
it's all line picking.
I'm gonna practice that.
It's being able to quickly scan at different speeds.
The
change is the pace in which you. And this may be strange, but I correlate it to as I'm in high school. I was a soccer goalie, Vermont All-State soccer goalie, and then my other passion is snowboarding.
Yep.
And being able to pick lines and quickly see where
the next is.
The next is where the ball's coming at me, where my hands need to quickly go to that hand-eye coordination, and being able to take in everything that's around you. And same thing with snowboarding. You're looking down through the trees and okay, what can I link three turns into to keep that flow going and moving. So it's a quick trail scan and just taking in all that information and then knowing what your bike can go through. It's it's something that is definitely acquired.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
there's also practice involved in it.
I mean, this is one of the reasons I love mountain biking, because you cannot be thinking of something else. Mm-hmm. You are present. You right. are living in the present when you bike.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's what's so nice about it. No worries. Your mind's off of other things. It's like,
you can't be focused on anything right. else.
So, like, yeah. for you, it gets your mind off of work and all yeah. this other stuff. I like that aspect of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, doing this look, freeing your mind, not focusing on one thing.
The 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah. yeah. Let yourself kind of see through. And generally, if you're looking straight ahead at something, what's going
to
happen?
Go right to it.
You're going to go right to it. Oh, yeah. We've all yeah. done it, right? Yeah. Oh, there's that rock. I don't want to hit that rock. I'm looking right at mm-hmm. that rock. Bang.
Well, that's when the rock. When yeah, I always. Go Every over, time. Like, as, oh,
we my went, handlebars even. I'm like, ugh.
At Kingdom Trails, you went up that trail with all the bridges, Alyssa and I.
Oh, Burn
Up. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so at least we're
Isn't
going
it
up them.
Did you? It's Burn Them Down, but you went up
yeah.
it.
Yeah, at least I went up it. I think the first time, like 5 years ago when I was a real newbie, I went down it. That yeah. was not a good thing. I hated that trail. I went up it. But still, they're long and they're curvy and they have some trees next to it. All I was saying is look up, because...
Did you walk any or did you ride
no,
them off?
No, I rode
awesome.
Off.
Oh, good for you. How about Alyssa? How'd she do?
I think she got off on a couple, maybe.
There's but one I get off.
Really?
I don't like,
there was one in the beginning. Like a tree it. Was there. I'm like, ew, look at.
Like, yeah, but good for you. Good for
there's
you.
A, that's a good place to practice that. Look mm-hmm. ahead.
It does have high consequences.
yeah. yeah.
Those bridges are high.
Oh, that's you know not what? My favorite trail.
No, the other one, the new one,
Less Lumber,
is amazing.
Which one's called?
No, it's still it's Burn 'em Down, but it's the new Burn 'em Down.
Oh, right, the new one. It has less bridges.
They were originally going to close the old one because I think it what
it's
I
a climbing trail is, though, isn't it? Even those what
it, because of the maintenance is oh, which yeah. is why they yeah. made the new
no,
Burn 'em Down.
No, and I think it's
down.
Called like Less Lumber or something
oh,
like
oh.
that.
Oh, not think officially.
I don't know. I think that when I was talking to I don't know, but when I was talking with Jody. And Jeremy, who had just been yeah. there, they were telling me about, you know, the play on words there too, because Burn 'em Down yeah. has so many
oh,
bridges.
So many bridges.
So many. That this is less maintenance, the more sustainable.
Love it.
Yeah. So
actually, so maybe it's a nickname.
Maybe,
I don't know
maybe
for
it's a
sure.
Nickname, or maybe it's,
that, yeah. I do not like that name, Burn 'em Downs, because you do not want to go down that thing. Yeah. If anything, go up it.
I've fallen off one of those bridges
Ooh,
going down.
Going down. Yeah. Do not go down, Burn 'em
so,
Down.
One thing I wanted to go back to the look aspect and where to practice it in a non-consequence
yeah,
area
yeah.
is Mile Long Field for our local people.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mile Long Field, like, yeah, you can fake it.
In Ascutney, the Mile Long Field, yes.
On Ascutney Mountain.
Yes.
Mile Long Field, there's no consequences. If you're trying to get into your corner and you're trying to look
Just go into
it,
the hayfield a bit more.
You just go into the hayfield. But, like, yeah. you can actually start to trust your body and what it's doing
That's
without feeling like
place.
You're going to
hit a tree
or rocks or roots yeah. or anything like yeah. that. It's just a big grass field with a ton of turns into it. And it can't, in order to get into the flow... You have to get all these three elements all
yeah,
pieced
yeah.
together.
So. That's a great place.
Yeah.
And that's a really good place, too, to do a little experimentation. Like, sometimes I think it's really helpful to, like, well, I'm going to try just looking ahead this distance and
right.
see how that feels. And then ride it again. Oh, this time I'm going to do it a little different. And then you to notice the differences in how that felt
yeah.
for you.
Because yes.
everybody's a little different. But if you just ride something exactly the same every time and it's not working for you.
Nothing's going to change.
Not exactly.
Yeah. yeah. When I was at Flow State, I went exactly. on a trail ride with Jeff Linowski, Trail Boss, the guy that does
yeah.
the YouTube Trail Boss. And so we did that. And he gave us a hint. He said, push your inside hand down. So that's the one hint he gave me. And I practiced it there. And I did
it's,
much better.
It's the best place to practice.
Yeah, all the cornering skills. Like
yeah.
A
yeah.
field that's, like that is perfect. Because
yeah.
it's not too steep. You're not going too fast.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
I like figuring out where my limits are. How
yeah.
How hard I can corner
yeah.
something.
And slowing down.
Exaggerate
is,
them.
You know, I can't stress the slowing down
yep.
piece.
The other thing that I think is so important when you go into the corners, which I've just realized after like 5 or 6 years, is I feel like if you pump... And when you pump through the apex of the corner, that means you are putting your weight in your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to next week.
That's right.
Which is lean.
Yeah, there we go.
So
All right. And I agree with you, Janet.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. I must take baby steps. I don't know. But
there's just too much. It's so much to learn. And everybody has something that feels different for them, or somebody says something and, that worked. So,
Exactly. I just remember there's this one trail that's flat, right? So it's not even about speed and like where your wheelhouse, those flat turns, and how some of my friends could be. We would get to this one section of this easy trail network and they would just take off. And I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you do? And it's very, very turny and stuff like that. And it's all these other little pieces. And now I go through there and I'm like,
It's nice. Like, Julie, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You just took off.
On a flat.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like that when I follow you guys down trails, like, where'd they go?
We feel like that when we follow you up trails.
Okay.
See ya. See you at the top, Janet. Yeah. All right. Okay. So look ahead. Practice on non-corners. Experiment. Look further than you think. And think about that sort of now, 1 to 2 seconds, and next, 3 to 6. So play with that a little bit. Give it some practice. And next week, we'll add in the lean. All right. So, moving on.
Yeah. That was good.
So, this week's topic, riding with your pets.
Yep.
Woof.
So, unfortunately, we're in a situation where, at the current day, Janet is the only one riding with pets. Because Julie and I are currently dogless.
I know.
But I have a lot of experience. Did you ever have ridden with the dogs?
You know, I don't think you could count it. My puppy, Licker, was a golden retriever. And certainly, Licker and I learned how to mount him up.
Okay. Here L-I-C-K-E-R or
no, L-I-Q-U-O-R.
Okay, that type of liquor.
My brother named her. She was my age. We were born at the same time. And my brother named her because she licked a lot. Granted, so he was a 2.5-year-old and she was a puppy and everything like that. But my parents spelt it L-I-Q-U-O-R. Golden Retriever. And so Licker and I definitely learned the trails together and had a bike and everything. And she definitely rode with my dad, so she did all the activities with us, but not later in life.
I've had in the last decade I had 2 Alaskan Huskies that rode with me all the time, and unfortunately they are now running free dog heaven. They're at the farm having a great time. But they also rode with Max quite a lot, which is Janet and Doug's dog. So tell us about Max.
So Max is 5 and he is a golden retriever, and he turned out to be a really good trail dog. Except when he goes in the, what do you call it, the putrid pond?
Putrid pond. The pond of putridness.
My God. Yes. But anyway.
At the end of the ride, right before he gets in the van.
And then he looks like a black lab, and that is not right. But when I first got him, and I was actually learning how to ride too. So my son would have soccer practice at this field, and then we go mountain biking at French's, and they had a lot of double track. So I bring him on the double track, and he kind of just learned, and I learned together mountain biking. And they had a nice river there where he could go in, and I had treats with him. And I mean, I used to take him and have him learn how to come and sit and stay. And he's a smart dog, I must say. So he does a nice job.
Now, what about you, Doug? Have you ridden with other dogs besides Max?
Not a whole lot, as we talked about earlier, I have ridden with a lot of animals, not always domestic.
So tell us about some of these animals, Doug.
Well, that was one of the Doug stories that you Janet always makes me tell this story.
I love this story.
You got to share it.
So you'll have to hear it again, I guess, but... you know, I have a minor fear of bears, I guess, and we probably have on average 1 or 2 bear encounters every year. Janet and I do, either she does or I do, or we both do together, and they're always pretty benign. Like the bear's pretty far away. Janet's actually got a pretty good bear story too. You can ask her about that.
Yeah, but I don't tell a story like you do.
Well, my bear story, I commute through Boston a lot, and so I'm often riding through there in the dark, and this goes with your last episode of riding in the dark. And so I'm coming down, and it was just after sunset, so it's getting dark, and the trail, you can see the trail reasonably well, and I like to turn my lights on as late as possible because I feel like I see more. You talked about how once you turn your lights on, now all you see is what's in the light, and it pretty much takes away your night vision, so you don't see what's outside of your beams. So to keep that full view, I tend to wait until I absolutely can't see a thing. So I'm waiting to the last moment, and my lights are actually in my bag. They're not mounted on the handlebars or my helmet. So I would have to stop. So I'm sort of racing time, and I'm coming down the trail. And at this point, it's pitch black in the woods. If you look off to either side, you can't see too far into the woods because it's pretty dark. And I'm getting down there. I think I was on Canyon in Boston Lot, and I was approaching the end. So, of course, everyone that rides there knows that you pass by Bear Cave Trail on your way. So
let's name that for a reason, Doug?
Right. Nothing but bears on my mind. And I'm bombing down the trail all alone, can kind of make out the trail in front of me, and I hear this crack in the woods, and it sounded like it's something, a 2x4 busted. And I'm like, okay, that got my attention. And,
that's not a squirrel.
Like, it was not a squirrel and nor a chipmunk. And so I'm like, okay, but yeah, there's animals in the woods. It's not a huge deal. And I'm not freaking out, but I'm, you know, a little bit more alert, and looking around. And it was maybe 15, 30 seconds later, I kind of hear this thump, 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 sort of like a horse running behind me.
And did I'm you like, consider getting a light out?
at this point, I'm racing the diminishing light.
Still trying
to
get
thinking,
out.
You know, I'm almost out.
He's almost out.
I don't have that much farther to go. But I hear this thump, thump, thump coming behind me, and I just turn my head, and I just see peripherally this large black object coming at me very fast. And it was moving considerably faster than I was. And I thought, I am not going to be able to negotiate this next set of obstacles in the diminishing light. And I'm not as fast as whatever it is. So
the bear.
It's either a moose or a bear, and I'm thinking it's a bear. So and all this time, I don't have a bear bell. Janet has a bear bell, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
And it drives me bananas in the 99% of the time that you don't have to worry about
it. You don't need it.
Oops.
So what I do is I just kind of like, I'll just go, hey, you know, I'll just like yell, hey, every once in a while to let bears or actually probably way more important, skunks know that I'm coming. So they get out of the way and don't bother me. And so I'd been doing this, hey, well, I now pick up the hey pace. I'm like, hey, you know. Hey, hey, hey there, you know, whatever you're doing. And then I stopped abruptly and kind of got off the side of the trail, and I jumped off my bike and picked up my bicycle to put it between myself and whatever this was that was coming at me. And I hold it up, you know, like a ritual. You know, I'm holding this bike up between me and the trail. I'm going, hey, hey, hey. And zooming up beside me comes another mountain biker who is also riding without lights and going much faster than me. And he slows way down, and he looks at me, he goes, you okay, man? And at this point, I could barely speak, so I just kind of go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm good, yeah.
Let me put my bike down.
But could you slow down so I could follow you out? Because I don't want to be in the woods alone anymore. So that was and to be honest, you know, and to get down to not scare anybody about bears, like I say, we have at least one or two bear encounters every year. We had one in our driveway at one point. That mink bear was in our driveway.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have never, ever caused problems at all. And so, you know, again, I think the key is let them know you're coming and you will never have a problem with a bear.
Yep. So, hey, hey, hey.
Yep. So, well, so a few hays or a bear bell or something is not a bad idea. But by the same token, Bears in New England, they are far more scared of us than we are of them, and therefore don't sweat the Bears as much as I did that night. But,
yeah, I have to agree with you. I've seen a number of bears on the trail, and once they see you, they usually start running. But I also had a bear encounter this year that didn't go as usual.
That's right.
So I was up at Kingdom, and we were riding up at Harp. And we were working our way up switchbacks, and I was actually teaching, so I think I had maybe six ladies and myself, and I had a different rider in front of me watching her ride as we came around. And so we were coming up these switchbacks at the end of Harp, and right at the top of the switchback, she kind of stopped abruptly and said, "Oh, bear." And I'm like, "Oh, where?" I'm like, "Oh, right there." Like, it was like, I don't know, 20 feet ahead of us.
Ooh, right there.
Off the trail, like hugging this tree. And I'm like, "Come on, let's go." And the woman in front of me thought, at first she thought I was talking to her, like, "You want me to just go?" No, like I'm clapping, like, "Yeah, come on, bear, get away, yeah, get away, yeah. Get out of here. Leave us be." Because usually if you just make noise and they know you're there, they take off. This bear was having none of that. It kind of like was putting its nose kind of forward, like almost saying, like, "You guys get out of here."
Oh.
And so I clapped a couple more times, and then it kind of put like its arm up on the tree. And I'm like, "All right, ladies, we're turning around here." It's like it wasn't really coming towards us, but it was not leaving.
Wow. Yeah, you're not going to go by it.
And so then we started, we turned around and start going down the trail. And I'm, you know, checking up over my shoulder, like, "Is it following us? Where is it?"
Gosh.
And because it was switchbacks, you could, at one point in the trail, you could look up. And that damn bear, it just turned around. It was just watching us, like it was making sure we were getting out of there.
Oh, gracious.
Wow. We were guessing in hindsight there were probably some cubs somewhere up there that she didn't want us near. And she wasn't aggressive, but she just would not let us pass. Which is, I mean, I've seen a lot of bears at Kingdom. And sometimes they'll stop and look at you and kind of check you out. But if you just clap your hands and make some noise, they just leave.
Yeah,
and they usually kind of jaunt off. But
this
one.
Well, in tying your two subjects together, dogs and bears... those are two things that normally you don't want to try to mix up because sometimes the dogs can cause more problems. That, you know, we have a recent story of a New Hampshire woman that her dog actually got the bear to go away from her, which was a good story. But sometimes the dogs bring the bear to you because they go upset the bear, and then the bear chases the dog, and now the dog runs back to you. Had you ever had any issues with wildlife in your dogs, Anna?
The only encounters we've had, like you mentioned, we had Cosmo, who really PO'd a skunk.
Oh.
And so that was not fun because Cosmo was chasing the skunk on the trail with us behind, and it was so bad, like our eyes were too weak. We had to stop, we couldn't breathe, we were coughing. I've never had skunk so strong, and there was like five or six of us. It was bad.
Oh wow.
It was very bad. So we've had that. Of course, the porcupines.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's everybody who owns a dog usually has that at least once. And then I've had interesting deer encounters with my dogs. You know, if you see a deer in the woods, which we often do, they usually chase after them for a second or two, and then they come back. But there was one day up at Hurricane, there was this big doe, and, you know, my dog Gina kind of looked like a small, like a little fawn.
Yeah.
And this, they were almost touching. So I had seen her earlier on, and she kind of stopped and looked at us and then just kind of scooted off, like, okay, fine. And then we were working our way up Jill's Trail, which is a little bit of a climber, so we're going a little slower. And she was back, and I stopped and like, okay, come here, girls. You know, wanted to get the dogs close so they wouldn't chase. And I got Cosmo by the collar, but my other dog started going towards the deer and just kind of walking, like checking them out. And it was almost like a Disney movie. Like they were almost nose to nose.
Oh,
it was wild.
Wow.
It was very strange, and I wonder if she didn't lose a fawn or something, and almost like, who are you?
Wow.
She's the right size, the right color. I don't know. It was bizarre. But then when they got really close, then the deer kind of spooked and took off.
Wow.
But it was wild.
That is pretty cool.
That was a super cool ride.
Yeah.
Like, all I could think about was, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's one quality with Max, another quality as a trail dog is, he's very good about not taking off. You know, he'll go after squirrels and stuff. He never catches them. He caught a chipmunk once and got it in his mouth, and I made him spit it out, and it scurried off. So, but for the most, like, he went after a porcupine twice, but on both occasions, I could see the porcupine, and we were able to say, "Max, stop!" He did. He did not go to the. You know, he's very good about that. He's also very good with other dogs. So if you run against another dog going the opposite way or whatever, he tends to just keep his head to the ground and go. You know, we're on a mission. We're doing this trail. The other dogs will often take great interest and, you know, want to sniff and come around, and he tends to just ignore them, which is, that's also another great trait.
It is. You know,
everyone knows
that
their dogs.
Max.
Everybody knows their own dogs and how well they'll do, but I think it is something you can acclimate them to. And we went on many rides with your dogs too, Anna, and I think that was great because having Max run with other dogs in the same group gets them used. You know, they socialize, they get their who's in charge out of the way early.
Usually in the parking lot.
And then they go off down the trail, and you know, they have to be good about not stopping on the trail.
Yeah,
I would say that's more of a problem in the winter. Max will get ice will build up in his paws, and so he'll be at a full gallop running down the trail, and we're right behind him bombing down some hill, and then all of a sudden he just stops instantly and starts gnawing on one of his feet to get the ice out. And he forgets to say stopping.
Got to work on that trail etiquette. It's interesting that, because we've ridden with some other dogs that do that, not just in the winter, and those are tough. It's so hard when you ride with somebody who owns a dog who is not a great trail dog. Like, I've had wipeouts, and it feels horrible for me, and it feels like I feel bad because, oh, come on, this dog just made me wipe out. But oh my gosh, is the dog okay? Like, I just hit a dog.
You feel really bad.
Usually fine, but we just, you know, we've had a couple incidents. Even this year, we've had Mary ran into Dia one day, and the poor dog. Oh, poor Mary. It's really hard. But I think that's one of the main skills, is just making sure they stay out of the way.
When Max got bumped a few times, and Max will run right next to the axle, like his nose is 2 inches from Janet's axle, is where
that's his favorite. Next to Anna's.
He'll ride with whoever's up front. He's the lead dog.
Except that he loves to sort of draft right there, it scares the heck out of me. He's very good. Like, if you peel him off on a tree, he just peels off. But he got schwacked a few times, and he bumped his nose on a spinning tire a few times, and unfortunately, it takes one or two of those for them to learn that, that knobby tire didn't feel at all good on my whiskers.
Well, Max is so fun to ride with.
He's a fun dog.
I enjoy him being out there. I enjoy riding with most dogs. Like having that extra little trail energy.
They're
pretty fun. So, you know, riding with your dog, starting with just some of the basic training, I think it's important that your dog has some obedience training. And I think it's important to do obedience training off-leash.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
Like, there's like the puppy training and they're on-leash, but it's off-leash is a whole new ball game.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Yep. And of course, let's just get this out of the way now. You don't want to ever ride your bike with your dog tied on a leash.
Right. No, you're going to fall.
So every now and then you hear of somebody wanting to do that. And like, there is bike drawing.
That's a different sport.
When we had Huskies, we ski jored with them. Yeah. So you put on harnesses, you have, you know, ropes that are connecting you. But you can't do that in the woods on single track.
Yeah.
That's going to be a disaster for you and your dog.
Yep. Yep.
So when we're talking about having our pet on the trail, they're off leash.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the obedience training, and like you said, Janet, no matter what's going on, you call Max and he comes back. Like, having that recall, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. He really comes back. That's good.
And I'll admit, my last, you know, Cosmo, my dogs always came back, but not always right away.
Sure.
And I had spent a couple of rides like, I'll see you guys later. I got to go find Cosmo.
Right.
I don't know where. Like, I know I'm not going to leave here without her. I wasn't really worried about her, but she went after something and then didn't come back. And if you're riding up a hill and they're usually behind you, you just don't notice until, huh, anybody seen Cosmo? And then you have to go look for him. And they always show up. Like, they're, you know, happy and...
Well, that's why I like having the bell on Max.
Yes.
The bell is great. And I think he's like knows now when he hears that bell. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going either for a walk.
Yeah.
And I'm all off leash or mountain bike. And he loves it. But you can tell where he is. Like, you don't have to see him. You can hear that bell from pretty far away. And that's
they even
nice.
Have little trackers. I mean, I remember like losing Skye's dog who she would ride with Piper all the time, and I've ridden with Piper all the time, and it was just a typical Saturday afternoon in Boston Law. So trails Piper knows. Piper you know, runs those trails with Skye all the time, and we lost her. We were up ready to descend Roki and where's Piper? And so what side did she go down? Did she go down, explosions
that's a bad
in the sky?
Feeling.
And then lo and behold, get back down to the trailhead. And
there she is. Oh, wow.
She found her way back. She just didn't want to go our way.
What? Yeah. Well, when we ride with Max and it gets hard to see the trails, like in the fall, this is what Doug says. Just follow Max. He knows where the trail is. And he does.
So
he smells it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So true.
Yep.
Now, what about how old was Max when you started riding with him?
He was probably like a year old when we started doing it. Because he was, like, when he was a puppy, I pretty much took him to the golf course off leash and just throw the ball and have him come. And, like, really worked on the come. So we would recall and just, you know, off doing that stuff with him. Yeah. But about a year, he was going with us then. And it was easy stuff. It wasn't long stuff, too.
Yeah.
When you're riding with your dog, it's a dog ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
Especially when you're training.
Ride.
When you're training them.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, I don't know, with my older, like my previous sets of dogs who were labs, we just took them for, I don't think we had the knowledge to know that, like, oh, you shouldn't take, you know, young dogs on a 5-mile bike ride. It's like, oh no, they had a great time. They loved it.
Right.
And we were lucky because they never had any orthopedic issues. But a common knowledge now is really, you know, you should let your dog be at least, I think, a year old, or talk to your vet. I think it makes a difference too, what kind of dog you have, how big they are, if they're made for running or not made for running. You know, my Huskies I got when they were a little bit older and they were obviously made for running. You know, Gina had done a 200-mile ski door race, like, pretty sure she can handle a 10-mile mountain bike.
Well, I mean, Huskies compared to my nephew Fleetwood, who's a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh. Exactly.
They're like Fleetwood, we have to be really careful because of all that hair on
big.
Them. It has to be different routes. Winter sports, a little bit different. They can handle longer.
Yeah.
They do still have to be different, but mountain biking, not so much.
Yeah, this summer has been tough. I haven't taken Max a whole lot because it's been hot. So he's been just doing walks.
And I think that's the greatest danger for a dog is the heat. Mm-hmm. They can run 20 miles easier than we can ride the 20 miles, but if it's hot, they'll overheat. And a good sign that they're overheating is they fall in line and they don't roam at all anymore.
Yeah,
they run the line right behind you. They tend to stay behind you. And they don't get off the trail.
They're getting tired.
That means they're getting hot.
Yeah.
And we tend to go, if it's above about 72 degrees, we tend to go places where there's water that Max can immerse himself in at least every 20 minutes or so.
Yep.
So if he can jump in the water, all you have to do is throw a rock, and he loves rocks, so he'll go after the rock anywhere.
Even though it sinks. He doesn't get it, doesn't care.
He doesn't care about sticks, but he'll chase a rock.
Yep.
That's great.
Right.
But that's a really good point, Doug. And I know there's been times at Boston Lot when I was riding with dogs, it's like, I really don't want to go to lake, but I have to go to lake because the dogs are getting hot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like it's worth the little quarter mile of a crap trail to let him go for a swim and take a little break. Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, thinking about what kind of shape they're in.
Yeah.
So, you know, are these dogs that run all the time, every day, go out? Like my Huskies, you know, they had to go out at least 5 days a week. It wasn't always a mountain bike, but boy, if they, you know, 2 days in a row and they're not going for at least a 2 or 3 mile walk or run, like, oh, yeah. Boy, they just became terrible to live with.
Yeah.
Because they were just so, had so much energy.
Wound up, yep.
Yeah, so it was, you know, they were used to running a lot. But other dogs, you know, if you're not used, if you're only going for 1 mile walks or just around the yard or just going out to do your business and then suddenly, oh, let's go for a 5 mile mountain bike ride. Yeah.
Injuries.
Yeah, the poor dog. So
just like a person, you can't just go out and do it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Janet did a little research for our episode today, and we would like to thank Single Tracks.
Yep.
Because they have a really nice list of 9 do's and don'ts of things to do with your trail dog.
Yeah.
So I think we've talked about 1, which is really making sure that you're training and testing your dog and making sure that they're able to obey your commands, and especially recall.
Yep.
Right? Like, they got to come back to you.
Yeah, that's key.
And good. I know, does Sarah use electronic
collar? Yes, she has e-collars. Yep.
Okay, so that's another option if your dog, you know, for some dogs that might be better than voice, mm-hmm. depending on how you train them and what depends kind of dogs they are.
Yeah.
2, don't leash your dog to your bike. So we talked about that.
Never.
It's just so dangerous.
For everyone.
Oh, it's God, I can't imagine. Can you imagine going down some trails with a dog? Oh my God, forget it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. See, I love this list after we've talked about riding with them, because you guys are already doing all this.
Yeah.
3, make sure your dogs have plenty of opportunities to hydrate.
Yes. Yeah.
And Janet, what happens if you go somewhere where there's not a pond or water for Max to drink? What do you do?
I bring that little collapsible cup and I have water for him and I put it in and he drinks it and then...
And I would like to say a shout out to Downtown Bill Brown, who taught us that our dogs can drink out of our water bottles.
Yes. He was just saying that to me yesterday on the work day.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
He trained his dog to drink out of the hydration.
Right. And my dogs would do it in a heartbeat.
Like, yeah.
No problem.
Water.
You can just basically bottle feed them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they loved it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you're wearing a waste pack or a hydration pack, you can still use your water bottle for your dog.
Yep, they'll get used to it. They'll learn.
Who knew?
Yeah, they'll learn.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But the collapsible are really good. And then, you know, not taking your dog for rides in extreme temperatures.
Yeah.
I think that's, the heat is more an issue. But in the winter, do you guys know that guy? I don't know who he is, but he rides with like a little teeny tiny white dog.
I love that.
That's your friend dog. Isn't that your friend dog?
Who is that guy? And what is that dog?
Who's your friend that has the little dog that rides with him that commutes?
He's got like 6-inch legs. Like
Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, 6-inch legs.
I love that little dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can imagine, like, I used to always laugh at dog sweaters because I always have, like, big dogs that like winter, so I've never owned, like, a dog sweater or jacket or anything. But when you're winter riding, you see a lot of these smaller dogs with the jackets on. And I think it's adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dog's really good.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking care of them, you know, to protect them from those extreme temperatures.
Yeah.
That little dog is cool. All right. How about riding on trail systems that actually allow dogs?
Yeah.
Or rides. Or group rides.
Right. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I know Trescott, your dog has to be on leash, so I never bring Max there.
Oh,
and another reason is there's ticks everywhere there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. When you take your dog, after the ride, you have to clean your dog, either if they're muddy or they're full of ticks. They're dirty. Yeah. So it's more than just riding. It's like a whole beauty salon you have to do with your dog.
Tell our listeners about the time you took Max in the spring and you woke up the next morning like, what's all over the carpet?
Oh my God. We had 20 ticks on our like white carpet in our bedroom. Like, what are those little white specks? They were dead ticks because
black. On the white rug.
Yeah, but I mean, he takes the medicine, so they died, but they're all over him. And he's a pretty easy dog to see them on.
Right,
because he's
Holden.
Right. Yeah. I mean, first of all, up here in Tick Place, I'm not going to have a black dog. It's too hard.
No.
But.
Now, Julie, you said, so not only the trails, but the ride.
For Glow, I love furry friends, and I enjoy riding with Max. And every dog that I have ridden with, I would say 90% of the time, has been a pure joy to be out with. But when you're in a large group dynamic, how do you know the different dog personalities that are going to show up.
And some people are afraid of dogs.
Some people are afraid of dogs. Yep. There's so many reasons, even though we love our fur babies so much, it's not always appropriate to bring them on group rides. And it's always nice to check ahead of time what the... I don't have anything posted or advertised about it. But when maybe I should, but when people do ask, my go-to has always been, you know, it's just not the right time for this ride because of all these other unknowns and variables that are
that's a good thing. If people listening to the podcast are going on group rides and they don't know, just ask.
Just ask.
And most likely that will be no, because it is hard on a big group. You don't know the people don't know your dog. Yep. Like when we go, you guys all know Max, you know.
Yeah, it's right. It's smaller rides. Or if the dog does take off, there's an issue, now you're interrupting the whole group ride because of your dog. It's like, it's a tough one.
It is.
And how about crowded trails? Is that a good idea to take your dog on a leash? Even if they are off leash,
areas.
If it's going to be a long weekend or it's hunting season or it's super crowded out there, like, just really think about the best protection for your dog and for the...
Yeah. Go early, go late.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Night ridings.
Night riding with your dog
is great.
It's great.
You have trail to protection yourselves. Too.
Yeah.
Do they need a light?
Now, make sure too, when you're thinking about, like, you know, do the trails allow dogs? Are they too crowded? Think also about road crossings.
Oh my gosh.
Because there are certain trails and trail systems. Like one time we were at B-Lot, and I know this is hard to believe, but we got lost. This is many years ago. And we didn't mean to, but we ended up on Bruce Lee down the bottom of Goat.
Oh,
and we were
by the road.
Way lost, like hours behind when we should have been out. And I was riding with Liz and Leah that day. And Liz is like, I'm late for work. Like, I got to go. So she was going to jump on the road. And Leah's like, yeah, I got to go. And I'm like, I can't go on the road. I have dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I have to ride the trails back.
Yeah.
And it all worked out just fine. And we, you know, once you're down the bottom of Bruce Lee, you know where you are. And you're like, crap, I have to like ride up Goat.
Yeah.
And we got back just fine. And it all was well and good, you know, a few hours late. But we had a great ride. But think about those road crossings. And then think about where they are in your ride. Because if your dogs are riding ahead of you and there's a road crossing, like, just be really careful.
Yeah, be careful.
Be really careful with that.
Cool. Make sure your dog's wearing a collar with tags that includes your contact information, because sometimes it does happen. Sometimes your pup gets lost.
Just in case Piper didn't show up at the parking lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
And add a bell to that collar. It's so handy.
Right.
The bell's so handy. Yeah. Not for you, but for having the bears know. So the dog does not surprise animals.
Yeah.
And now they even have, like, GPS trackers. Like, you can, like, map how far they
went. I think Ashley did that on her dog, honestly.
I always wanted to do that because I thought, if it was a 10-mile ride for me, my dogs are going at least 15 miles.
Right. Yeah, right.
Back and forth, back and forth, over here, over there, back and forth, behind you, in front of you. Oh, they're going to do some loops.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be really fun to watch them.
I'd also throw out, if your dog goes off somewhere, 99.9% of the time, you're going to find the dog back at the car, back at your house, or wherever you started your ride from, because they seem to know where they are way better than we do. And
you get those good
noses.
We
think they're lost, and they think we're lost. They're like, we're
usually right.
They're right.
My owner.
Yep, I would agree with that. Good point, Doug. Don't freak out too much until you're home or at the car and they're still not around.
Yeah, the other big thing is don't ride too far. Don't decide you're going to do Four Peaks and B-Lot and do like a 20-mile ride with your dog. That's just too much.
It's not fair.
At least I know it would be for Max. It's just way too much.
Yeah. And make sure you please clean up your dog shit.
Yep.
Especially if it's in the middle of the trail. Because nobody likes cleaning dog poop out of their tire treads.
Oh, yuck.
And then you smell it the ride, and then you got to get sticks. And it's just terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible, terrible.
Another nice thing is for hunting season are those vests, those orange vests.
Oh,
and collars. They're really,
They're good. Visibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Other thing for the feet, like I did buy it, but I forget to put it on. It's called Musher's Secret Paw Protection that you put on like Goldens. They have all this hair between their paws that the snow gets stuck in, and it keeps it from getting stuck.
And some of our riding buddies actually keep a can of Pam in their vehicles, and they spray their dog's paws with Pam, which is like nonstick.
Fascinating.
Helps them, helps with that as well. Who knew? I think that was a Jill Cutting thing, but that's what, you know, Sheila's got Reagan, who's like a mutt, but totally furry, and Bernice Mountain Dogs. And
furry.
So they're very furry.
Yeah.
But it is funny when the conditions are like, when it's snowball conditions, and they'll just plop down in the middle of the trail and just start gnawing.
Right.
Oh,
God.
Just like, get these snowballs off of me,
right?
He gets
so many, yeah.
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 Well, and there's one last etiquette thing. If there are times when the snow conditions are okay for fat tire, but they're not okay for dog paws.
Yeah,
you're
and, right.
And so the dogs can chew up the trail pretty good. And so again, it's just like any time when you're riding with your own bike.
So
if you look behind you and the trail's getting torn up by either your bike or your dog, then ditch whatever's getting the trail torn up.
That's right, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody seen any pets other than dogs on the trails?
I have not.
No.
Have you?
Well, I'm seeing a lot more cat footage.
What?
On trails, not necessarily mountain biking, but they make little carriages for them, and there's all these people, you know, I'm on like a few social media, like the 4,000 footers and hiking groups, and a ton of people have these backpacks that their cats go in.
I have seen a lot of that.
And
personally,
I betcha it is not going to be long before we see a cat in a backpack on a mountain bike.
Oh, God.
However, my fear is you fall
exactly.
off your bicycle.
Oh, God.
That would be awful.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
That would be awful. But I bet we're going to start seeing that on like rail trails and non-technical.
It is a little scary when I see the little kids on the front of mountain bikes.
Oh, those new seat things?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Julie, you're a mom of young kids. What do you think about that?
You know, I felt that way too, Janet. And so I avoided buying Mack Ride, Shotgun Rides, whatever you want to call it, and I regret it.
Oh, really?
Because my good friend Kelly has one. And so I use hers when I'm riding with her, and it is great.
It is super scary.
Kids love it. You do have to obviously ride differently, and you've got to know your own abilities and all the things. But I avoided it for that exact reason at the time while they were so little. I couldn't bring myself to risk it.
Yeah.
And now I really wish I had just tried it earlier while they were younger. Now they're pretty big, so it's
This is actually
something I have quite a bit of experience with my kids when they were little, and this was back. You didn't have the seat in front of you that didn't. At least I was not aware of it anywhere. So I had one of those seats behind me, and I would also ride with them in a backpack, and I would also ride with them in a dual side-by-side trailer on single track.
Wait, side-by-side?
And it all sounds like, you abusive father.
They were bouncing around.
You
know,
what?
Yeah, so I was never arrested for this, but my, you know, obviously I rode much more conservatively. I wasn't hucking off anything. I was on very easy trails. And my kids loved it. They absolutely loved it.
They would
just cheer for more. And so, you know, again, I think if you ride very conservatively, you know, you got to ride like your kids on the bike.
Yeah.
I think they are something to get kids really
into
jazzed
it.
Up
yeah,
about, that
so,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
stuff.
Very cool.
Get the
now, do you
the
still
trail.
Have that side-by-side?
I do not have that side-by-side anymore.
I'm just thinking I could sort of see you and Janet, and when Max gets older, maybe Max sitting in the seat.
Yes.
But I think we're going to see cats on the trail before too much longer.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
I really do. Because they're seeing so much of it hiking. And
in the winter when the trails are right, Kelly and AJ, when their kids were a little bit younger, AJ would pull them in the trailer side by side in Boston lot.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. They would mount skis to the bottom
of
the trailer
and tow
the kids. He's strong. He can do those things.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
Right? Yeah, that's a workout.
Wild.
That's a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, no limits.
That's right.
No limits. We'll see what's next. All right. Well, we have talked a lot about riding with our furry friends.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun when you get them trained and stuff, and it's a great way to. They love it too. Yeah.
They love it. We love it.
Yeah, just got to do.
It's really hard when they're not there anymore.
Oh yeah.
You know, I used to ride like quote unquote alone all the time because I had to take my dogs for a ride.
Right.
And I'd often be like, I'm just going to take them to the end of the road. And then it's like, well, we're just going to go a mile. Oh, well. And then, you know, 6 or 7 miles later, it's like you just had a real ride. But I never felt like I was riding alone.
Right.
And I've really noticed I've only been dogless now for a little over a year. And I really feel like.
You don't ride alone a lot.
I rarely ride alone now because I'm just like, it's just weird with just me.
When it's
the dogs, you have company.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh, absolutely.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, it can really be a beautiful relationship, and it can really add to your riding experience. So if you do have a pet that you're wondering about, is this, you know, appropriate? We hope that you'll think about it and take your pet out when it's safe to do so for both you and your furry friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a pretty special relationship when that works out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we just, you know. Everybody who rides with Janet and Doug just loves Max.
That's right.
Yeah, you know Max.
Yeah.
Oh, I could
and
not.
And Janet and Doug don't have to worry about dog sitters because they're like, hey, anybody want to watch Max? And like, there's 10 mountain bikers like, sure, I will.
Oh my God. Stacia had so much fun with him.
Yeah.
She sent me a picture when she dog sat. She goes, I love Max.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
was so cute.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, and for your listeners, if anybody takes a cat out, send a picture. And
yeah,
below
yes, please
yeah,
do.
Definitely.
Please do. We know it's going to happen.
Oh, too funny.
All right. Well, on that note, let's move on to our shout out segment.
Yeah.
Julie, what do we got this week?
So this week we have the Women's Mountain Bike Network. You can find them at www.womensmtbnetwork.com. We became introduced via Instagram and just was shouting out and saying, hey, I like what you're doing. I want to give you ladies, give Glow a shout out on our website. Come check out what we're doing. Women's Mountain Bike Network is a resource page for all things mountain biking. We aim to inspire and empower women of all ages to get out and ride. We have info on bikes, gears, components, coaches, trails, bike parts, and more, all from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, that's cool.
Our content is updated weekly by our crew and other contributors in the community. We're committed to giving back to nonprofits by doing raffles, group rides, events, and gear swaps. So lots of really awesome stuff that's headed out there. And I believe it's Mia that is heading up. She's who reached out to us and really kind of organizing and collecting all of these resources for all of you. So highly encourage you to come on and join the movement and get some recommendations for women by women, and check out Mia's page. Again,
and what's that website, Julie?
That is www.womensmtbnetwork.com, and I believe her Instagram handle is the same. My apologies. Hold, please. Insert.
quick, pull up Insta.
Insert your elevator music now. And it is Women's MTB Network is the Insta handle as well.
It is the same.
Yep. Yeah, all the same. Cool. Pretty easy.
Yeah, I went to the website when Julie found this and said, hey, check this out. I'm like, oh, this is so in line with what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Like women supporting women, all things mountain biking, in a space just for us. And they have this really great coaches page, and so I'm like, and they've only got a few states. So I sent an email and said, hey, I love what you guys are doing. Is there any way I can get on your coaches page? And Mia like responded the next day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Super responsive, and looks like they're just going to do great things. It looks like they're just in the middle of their build. So some of their pages are, you know, just in the works, but I think it's going to be something really special.
Yeah,
so
I love what she's
we're
doing.
Definitely going to want to keep our eyes on them.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Nice.
So thank you, Mia, and your gang.
Yes. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, gals, does that about wrap it up for the week?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you liked this episode, please give us a thumbs up and a like. And tell all your friends. You can listen to us everywhere you can find great podcasts, including where you're listening right now. We'd love to hear from our community. So if you have any questions or concerns or have ideas that you want us to talk about, please let us know. Feel free to send us an email at mtbglow@gmail.com. And you can find us on Insta and Facebook at
GlowMTB. Hootie hoo.
And thanks, Doug.
Yeah. Special thanks My to pleasure. Glowtographer. Thanks. So for those of you that don't know, Doug's nickname is the Glowtographer, because our glow rides are, men are welcome as long as they're not leading the ride or trying to take over. And Doug is
Leave
just,
your testosterone at home.
That's welcome. Just,
you know.
Keep it in check.
Yeah, keep it in check. But Doug comes to many, many of our glow rides, and we're so appreciative because he takes amazing photos of everybody.
Yep.
His action and shots are great.
If we split into two or three groups, Doug runs around the network finding all three groups so that he doesn't miss anybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's so thoughtful, and he does such a great job, and we're just so lucky to have him. And we're super lucky to have you here tonight on the phone.
With the bear story.
Chatting with us.
Always enjoy interacting with Glow. It's good times.
Yeah. The best, Doug.
We appreciate you, Doug.
And we're
looking forward to the next ride.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time,
kick stands up.